Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. In this lesson, we're going to talk about arrays. Now, previously, I compared a variable to a bucket in the computer's memory that holds a value. To extend that analogy from earlier, you can think of an array as a bucket that contains other buckets. Another way to think of an array is a sequence of data. And I hesitate to use the word collection of data because that has another meaning in .NET to .NET developers. But you can think of it as a grouping or a collection of data that you can iterate through, you can store values in, you can retrieve it out, you can assign values to it, and so on. So you declare an array just like you would any other variable, starting with the data type that you want to use, and then you tell it how many elements that you want in your array or how many buckets inside of your bigger bucket that you want to save in memory. And you can access any single item in that array using its index, which is its ordinal position within that array, to retrieve it out. Or rather its position inside of the sequence that you want to access. So let's do this. We're going to create a new project, and it's going to be called Understanding Arrays. And I'm going to type in the following code. Please follow along. Okay, well, first of all, let's examine the declaration and the assignment of values inside of our array. First of all, you can see that here in line number 5 that we're defining an array of integers. The numbers in the parentheses are the bounds or the boundaries of the array. So in this example, there will be 5 values, starting with the number 0 and all the way through the number 4. So to access then an individual element of the array, you use the name of the array variable. So in this case, the word numbers that we declared here, and we'll use it throughout to access the individual items in the array. So we'll say number sub 0 equals, and we'll assign that to 4, numbers element 2, so index 1 equals 8, and so on. So then in lines number 7 through 11, as you can see, we're setting the individual elements of the array to an integer value. And there are a number of different ways that I would say this in English in order to explain what's going on in these lines of code. So I might say, like I did earlier, number sub 1 equals the value 8, or the numbers array at index 1 equals the value 8. Or I might even say the second element of the numbers array is set to the value 8. Okay, any of these are acceptable nomenclature to use. And it's extremely important to remember that arrays are always zero-based, meaning that you count the element of the array starting with 0 as the first element. Now, quite honestly, this causes those who are just new to software development a little bit of confusion at first, and it's hard to remember. We're going to see what happens if you forget this in just a moment, and you think, oh, I've got 5 elements in my array, so I'll start with 1 and I'll go to 5. You'll experience a runtime error when you do that. So also, I just want to point this out. Whenever you use the parentheses in this capacity, we refer to them as the array or the index access operator. It's what we'll use throughout to access a specific element of the array. So then in line number 13, we're retrieving the value that we placed in the third element of the array at index 2, or in other words, the third element of the array. and then displaying it alongside of a literal string that I spelled incorrectly, there we go, in order to print out the value of the third element in the array. And then finally in line 17 through 19, I'm just doing a simple for next statement that we learned about in the previous lesson to loop through each element of the array and then print the value of the item in the array. And so why do I have to take the length and subtract one? Well, first of all, what's the length? It's the total number of items in the array. So if we go from 0 to 4, that means there's 5 items in the array. However, we can't go from 1 to 5. We have to go from 0 to 4. So we'll take this length, which is 5, and we'll subtract 1. And that will give us the correct counting so that we can go through and use this variable index to index into a given element of the array. Okay? So let's go ahead and run it and see what gets printed to screen here. First of all, the third element of the array contains the value 15. Is that correct? 1, 2, 3. It does indeed contain the value 15. And now we're just going to iterate through the array 4, 8, 15, 16, 23. Great. Okay, so now what happens if we were to add a line of code that references an element that's not actually in the array? So let's try to set numbers element 6 at index 5 equal to 42. All right, let's go ahead and run the application. When we do, we'll get a system.indexOutOfRange exception. Additional information, the index was outside the bounds of the array. In other words, we're trying to stuff 6 values into an array that was only designed to hold 5 values. So we're out of bounds. It's important to note that you can't expand or shrink the size of the array, the length of the array, after it's been defined. If you need that functionality, there are fancier alternatives to arrays that we're going to look at later on in this course, like collections. Talk about those later. You can also, let's go ahead and continue on this and comment this out. You can also declare and initialize the array in a single line of code. And so when you do that, we don't have to declare the number of items up front. Before I do that, let me show you one other shortcut we can take here that I didn't think to point out before. Instead of doing this, there's a new shorthand. You can just do that and it'll work just as well. Okay. You just have to remember that it's from 0 to 4, even if you only put the number 4 here. All right. All right. So let's comment that out and we'll comment all of this out. And we'll take this more succinct syntax to do the following. Like so, okay? Let's try to run this and see if we get the same result as before. And we do. So just take note that, first of all, we are creating an array of integers called numbers. We didn't define the number of items in the array, but it's initialized using the equal operator to this grouping, this sequence of numbers, values that are integers that are separated by commas. And this means that we have 5 items in our array, even though we didn't specify it here, okay? It's also important to know that you can create arrays that hold virtually any data type, not just integers. So just to prove that and to show you how this works, let's go ahead and comment out all of this. And I'll create another example right before the console.read line, like so. We'll use that new style here. And then I'm going to use a different iteration statement. Now, this iteration statement is called a for each. And you'll see how useful this is. Okay. Let's run the application and see it merely prints out each of the names in our array one line per item. How did this work? Because first of all, we created a new array of four items because we initialized our new names array to have these initialized string values. And we use the for next, or I'm sorry, the for each item in the names array that we created, take one item in the array, and we're going to create a variable called name as a string, and we're going to retrieve the first item into this name variable, and then we can use that in the body of the for each iteration statement to print it out to screen or do whatever whatever we need to do with it. So for each name, as string in names, and we'll iterate through once for each item in the names array, and we'll merely print them to screen. Pretty neat, right? Okay, so let's comment this out, and we're going to do something even more interesting this time. So make sure you're following along. All right, that's an awfully long string, right? So what would be really neat is if we could split it up into two instead of having to scroll over the right-hand side every time we wanted to use it. So I have an idea. Let's break it right here. I'm going to put a double quote, and then I'm going to put the ampersand and then an underscore character. That underscore character is a line continuation character in Visual Basic. So I'm basically saying take this literal string, and I want to concatenate that to this literal string, and we'll do it on essentially one line of code, but we'll use this line continuation character to kind of say it's really just one line of code, and we'll paste them together with this ampersand character, all right? So that's how you're able to get around that restriction of only one statement per line of code, one instruction per line of code in Visual Basic. All right, so let's continue on with our example here. Okay, so let's take a look at what we've done here. First of all, we created a really long literal string with a famous quote from one of my favorite people in the world, Zig Ziglar. You can get what you want out of life if you help other people get what they want. Now that I have that as a literal string, I'm going to use this two char array built-in method to the string data type. And what this will do is create an array of individual characters. And you can see here that I'm using this char data type. And the char data type is essentially, it's like a string, except it's only one alphanumeric character. So we're going to create an array of alphanumeric characters. And we're going to save that as an array of alphanumeric characters called char array. How many items will it have? Well, we could count up each of these individual letters and spaces inside of this literal string, or we could just use the length property of the char array if we really wanted to know. But at any rate, what we're going to then do is use a built-in function of the array data type called reverse, and we're going to pass in our char array. So what do you think that'll do? Well, it's going to take our entire array of chars and reverse the order. So if you were the first in line, you're going to be the last in line. If you were the second in line, you'll be the second to last in line, and so on. So it reverses everything. So we'll essentially be going, looking at this string backwards. All right. And then we're going to, for each individual character, individual char inside of our char array, we'll loop through and inside the body of our for each, we're going to simply write that character to the current line. Now, notice that I didn't use write line. I'm using write. I don't want a new line for every character. Otherwise, it would span, you know, maybe, what, 70, 80 different characters or lines, one for each character. Instead, I wanted them to appear next to each other. And so that's what the write method we'll do instead of the write line method. Okay, so let's go ahead and run our example, and we see what we might expect. Reading from right to left, you can get what you want out of life if you help enough other people get what they want. Awesome. Okay, so in this lesson, we primarily learned about arrays as a means of storing groups of data like numbers or strings or even individual characters with our char array. Along the way, you learned about a few other important concepts and techniques. First of all, you declare arrays by defining the data type, the zero-based number of elements in the array, and optionally, you can initialize the values in the array by using those opening and closing curly brace syntax like we did right here, right? And right here, okay? And use parentheses like we did here and here and a few other places in order to access each individual element of the array with the index inside that we want to actually access. And arrays are always zero-based, and attempting to access an array element that's outside of the boundary of the array's length, or rather the number of elements contained in the array, will cause an exception to be thrown like we saw. You can use the length property of an array to find out just how many elements are inside of the given array. And you can use this information to iterate through each element in an array using a for next iteration statement. Or if you prefer, you can use what we've done here with the for each iteration statement to iterate through each element of an array, which will also extract out the current item and put it into a variable that we can then use inside of the body, inside of the code block for the for each iteration statement. And then we also learned about the array.reverse method to reverse the order of elements in the array. And there are many other members of the array data type that allow you to perform operations on all the data inside of your particular array. And I even noticed that there was a resize. And if we take a look, it allows us to change the number of elements of an array to the specified new size. So there is a way to get around that limitation. It's a built-in helper function to the array data type that would allow us to resize or change the number of items. Even though I didn't demonstrate that, I'll bet you could probably figure out how to do that on your own. It's not built-in. It's not part of the array necessarily, but you can resize it using that helper method. Okay? And we learned a bunch of other stuff too. It was a great lesson. So hope you're enjoying this. We'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you.